Blog Talk Radio.
Best-selling and award-winning author of true crime and crime fiction, Yvonne Mason is back with a brand new book, The Pink Canary, a book that delves into the life of a drag queen and a marvelous whodunit. You can find this and all of Yvonne's other works on Amazon.com or find Yvonne Mason on Facebook and Twitter.
You're gonna kill me.
Buy your copy of Pink Canary now.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Saturday night, and it is the Saturday night before Easter. And this is Off the Chain. I'm your host, Yvonne Mason. And of course, that was shameless promotion. Y'all know me. Y'all have listened to the show long enough. And my friend Chris Dunham, who's an absolute hoot, does all my ad work for me, and he can take something like that and have me laughing by the end of the ad, because I'm going to tell you, if you haven't read The Pink Canary, you're missing it. It is a comedy. It's a whodunit. It's about drag queens. It's about my favorite city in the world, Key West. You roll all that into one book, and all I'm going to tell you is you'll be up all night reading that book. And if you need ad work done, you need to contact Chris. He is on my Facebook page, so hook up with him and tell him that you need some voiceover ad work done, and he'll help you out. Now, tonight, before we get into my guest, he's been on here a dozen times, but I got to brag a little bit, ladies and gentlemen. I told you last night that we were pretty close to 6,000 listeners on this show. Well, as of this morning, we're 17 away from 6,000 just on this show. We were at 5,983 this morning when I pulled up the numbers. Show's not even a year old, and it's taken its own life form, and it's because of people like my guest tonight and others that come on here and put up with me for an hour and keep coming back, and I don't know why, because I'm mean to most of them, but they seem to like that sort of thing. Overall, we are at 13,752 listeners, and that's with all of the podcasts that I put this show up on after the live show. The goal for this show by the end of the year was 15,000. We're 1,248 away from that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this show will not be a year old until July the 27th. To me, that tells me that there was a need for this show. It was time for me to do this show, and people have been responding in a way that is absolutely unreal, and for that I am so grateful. So we're just going to keep on keeping on, and I have to give a shout-out to Australia, because Australia is my biggest supporter on Blog Talk Radio. They listen to this show all the time, and I am so grateful for them. They beat out the good old USA 3-1 now. 3-1, ladies and gentlemen. Australia listens to this show. There's 78% of my listening audience here. Can't beat that with a stick. Now, tonight, my guest is somebody that I absolutely adore. He and I have been friends for, God, it seems like forever and a day. Seems like I've always known him. And we've been through some up times, some down times, some in-between times, some rough times, but overall, I wouldn't trade his friendship for anything in the world. Now, this man knows more about music than anybody else I have ever known in my entire life. He has over 1 million records in his collection. A million songs in his collection. You can't beat that with a stick, and he knows them all. I'm telling you, the man knows them all. Radio host, my friend, Chris Plain. He's also known as the music god under CJ Plain. Of course, I said he is a longtime music fanatic, and that is saying it mildly. He's more than a fanatic. He played in his first hard rock band at 16 years old. He's been involved in various parts of the business since then. As a musician, a DJ, a radio station owner, a writer, a promoter, he's tried his hand at it over the decades since his start way back in the dark ages when rock and roll was king. He's worked with multiple mediums within the art spectrum, and he is extremely well-versed in music, movies, books, and tattooing. Pertaining to music, he is well-schooled in all genres across the musical multiverse. See, I can't even talk tonight.
Multiverse.
y'all know me. You know me, Chris. I can't talk half the time anyway. And he can as easily talk about reggae and blues as he can metal or country. Chris's music collection is now over, like I said, 1 million songs. When it comes to movies, Chris loves a good shoot-'em-up style action flick while still appreciating the nuances of noir style detective films. Comedy is always a safe bet with him, as well as he knows how to have a wicked sarcastic streak in him and dreams of one day trying his hand at stand-up comedy. Chris's favorite authors include Christopher Polanyi, Kelly Armstrong, Jonathan Haycliffe, Douglas Clegg, William Dahl, and Christopher Moore. And he says Yvonne Mason falls there and there somewhere as well, obviously. He is the owner of his own domain, which is www.writeonthesetradio.com, where he writes as a music reviewer. He also contributes for various sites around the web. If you have an art media that you like to see reviewed by him, let him know at riotonthesetmedia@gmail.com. He can also be found on Twitter at musicgodcjplane and on Facebook at facebook.com/cjplane. And with all that being said, welcome, my friend. I'm so glad you're here and you're safe and all is well and you're not in a ditch somewhere.
No. Not ready for me to take over yet.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what happened is CJ was going to go to truck driving school. He had these visions of, I don't know, being 20 years old again and forgot that he isn't. Well, his body let him know real quick, hey, dummy, guess what? You're not 20. So... tell the folks what happened, because you were all set, you were there, everything was good, and you did a face plant.
Yeah, just, me being the, as Fred Sanford used to say, a big dummy that I am, I thought riding 5 miles one way at 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, weighing 275 pounds at 46 years old, or coming up on 46 anyways, and I thought, hey, yeah, ride a 10 speed. That'll work. Nope. Not so much. So, I thought it was blood sugar. It ended up being a severe vitamin D deficiency. And yes, odd, I know I need the D before he throws that in somewhere. Anyways,
So
being
tell,
a vitamin D deficiency, I'm fine.
So tell the folks what happened, because there may be someone out there that thinks, see, ladies and gentlemen, what happened is when he passed out once he got to the school, I mean, he literally did a face plant, and they said, no, boy, you got to go back to the house and get this fixed, and everybody thought he was a diabetic. But that wasn't the case.
No, I thought, because I've been having issues, I wake up in the morning, and if I don't eat breakfast, I get kind of like ucky feeling, jittery, like I'm going to throw up or whatever. And I attributed it to low blood sugar, because I dated a girl in high school, and that was, you know, what happened with her. So I was playing Marcus Well BMD and thought, yeah, it's just sugar, you know, I'll eat, and more things than sugar that will cause that. So, ended up passing out, did a face plant, guy helped me back to the hotel, come home, went to the doctor. You know, good news is not diabetic. Bad news is you're supposed to have a vitamin D range somewhere between 20 and 28. Mine was 5. So now I'm on this medicine that, you know, is so strong you only take it like once a week. but I feel better and I'm losing weight, and I'm still going to do the truck driving thing. It's just once all the medical stuff is taken care of and I get back down to my fighting weight, you know, where I can be healthy and not kill anybody while I'm out there. So,
see, ladies and gentlemen, now I know when we're 20 years old, hell, when we're 40 years old. We think we're going to live to be 100, and we're always going to be in great shape, and we're going to always be able to do what we did at 20 and at 40. But I got news for you. It ain't going to happen. There was a time that I could work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and maybe get a quick nap in between, plus raise 3 children, plus take care of a house, and work 3 and 4 jobs. No, don't even come at me now with all that, because I will look at you and go, you out of your mind. Same thing with Chris. Trust me, there's going to come a time when your body's going to say, okay, watch this. And they're gonna it's gonna let you know that it's over. It's over it. It ain't gonna put up with it any more. And you might do a face plant just like Chris did, right, Chris?
Yeah. 6:30 in the morning in the pouring rain at that. That's what sucked. It was it had been raining all weekend, and I went down there, and you know, like I said, growing up, I grew up on a farm, so rain, snow, mud, that didn't stop yet. And cows to be milked, wood to be chopped, fields to be worked. You did it regardless of the weather, you know. So I bought me a little, what do you call the damn things, a poncho suit things, you know, and I threw that on over my clothes and went to peddling. And, yeah, about 2 miles in, I just, like I said, I started feeling kind of crappy, and before I could even, you know, so much as even slow down or really even stop, I just went down. And like I said, luckily there was a semi coming out of one of the places, and he seen me, and he kind of come over and helped me back. So you know, like I've said to you a million times, you know, thanks to truck drivers everywhere that there was one right where I needed them at that time. So, yeah.
Yeah, you weren't on. Yeah, it wouldn't. You weren't on a lonely road. You had a guardian angel on your shoulder that morning.
I did, because I really wasn't even in a good neighborhood. I mean, at that point, you know, anybody could have come along and probably took my wallet or my backpack, anything, you know. And I definitely, yeah, I had a guardian angel, and for sure.
So, ladies and gentlemen, the moral of this story is, if you have any inkling that something is off, you might want to go get yourself checked out, because it might not be anything, but then
yeah,
it might be something, and it could be something that like vitamin D. Who knew that
yeah,
a vitamin D deficiency would act like a diabetic episode?
Yeah, it'll cause your body to be sluggish. You'll feel bad. It can cause depression. I mean, there's the list that the doctor gave me is, I mean, it's really long. And I kind of feel bad, because I got to say this. There was a girl in high school, and yeah, it's pretty well known. I've said before on your show, I was a dick when I was a kid. I was very much a bully type, and, you know, there was a girl growing up that we used to mess with quite a bit, because she was a big girl, and, you know, her excuse was always, well, I have a thyroid condition. And we were like, yeah, you know, the only condition you have is shoving 5 pizzas in your face every day. Because, you know, at that age, you don't really understand. And come to find out that, yeah, thyroid condition is...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
yep.
If your thyroid doesn't work properly, you will gain a ton of weight, and you will not be able to get it off. And yeah, and so now, you know, when I read that, I was like, man, I should have just, you know. Yeah. So, you know, now I kind of feel like, you know, I really owe her an apology. I mean, I owe her an apology for being a dick, but even more so now that, you know, I guess call it karma, because, you know, I made fun of her growing up, and
the thyroid control, the thyroid controls your metabolism. My mother, for years and years and years and years, had an overactive thyroid. Now, an underactive thyroid does what happen to you. You get sluggish, you have the weight gain, you get the depression. An overactive thyroid, you can't sleep, you can't, your eyes bug out like frogs, you have all these crazy thoughts, and my mother literally thought she was losing her mind. And it was an overactive. So when she had surgery, and she lived with a quarter of a thyroid for 60 years, just a quarter of a thyroid. She never had to take a thyroid pill in her life, and she lived with that quarter of a thyroid, and it put up an out enough thyroid that she didn't need any medication.
Wow, crazy.
It controls all the other glands. It controls the pituitary gland. It controls all the other glands in your body. I mean, even though it's in your throat area, it's a mean little booger.
Yeah, and it's only the size of a navy bean or so, you know.
Yeah, it's not big at all.
Yeah, so I was shocked by it, and like I said, it immediately, you know, made me think of this girl in high school, and I thought, man, you know, that's karma, man, because, you know, we gave her hell all through school about it, and, you know, it come back on you, man. So karma's a mean.
Karma will bite you in the butt.
Yes, it will.
It sure will. Good karma and bad karma will bite you. Now,
that one did,
onto more fun things, since we've totally depressed everybody on a Saturday night. That's okay. Misery love company. Get over it. Let's talk about, you know, we talk about music all the time, but let's talk about tattooing a little bit, because you have some ink. My daughter has some ink. A lot of people I know have ink. And people have ink for different reasons.
I mean, go ahead.
I'm trying to think of how to phrase this question. What is the reasons behind your ink?
I got different ones for different reasons. Some are music related, obviously. I have a corrosion of conformity one. I have two Colt Ford ones. Those are like the music related ones. I have one that kind of looks like an Aerosmith one. I have one that's related to West Memphis 3. When they were released, finally, it says basically it's the word freedom, but one of the E's is the number 3, and it's got the date they were released. If anybody knows the story of the West Memphis 3 and how that whole thing went down, I was a huge supporter of those guys and still am. I have a giant leprechaun on the back of my leg that I designed in high school, and it sat around for years. Yeah, I have my name on my back, which is an ambigram, which basically means it says the same thing no matter whether you look at it, you know, right side up or upside down. I have a giant Japanese one on my left arm that's like a sleeve. I have one on my hand now, which is related to the band Blue October. That's another music one. It has very special meaning to me, basically. It's like a black heart with a red X to it.
Ooh.
And, it's really the logo for the singer's label, but us Blue October fans have kind of adopted it as well. Because it has this real personal meaning of, you know, basically it's Christian related of, you know, black heart, and then the red cross is, you know, like, you know, the blood of Jesus has basically crossed out the black heart or the sinful heart, is in a nutshell. It's sort of what it means. And I got a bunch more planned as well. Tattooing is something I've always loved. I got into it pretty early. I was actually the manager of a record store, and there was a jewelry store next door who complained constantly about our music being too loud. so
Don't
they
figure.
Moved out. Yeah. And this is back in the 80s. This was 86, 87, 88. I was barely out of high school, and I was running a record store, basically. And when they moved out, my buddy decided he was going to open a tattoo shop. So he bought the store next door and went into business with the owner of the record store. And we kind of opened the walls up between the two stores and did tattooing on one side, and we did music and T-shirts and all of that kind of crap on the other side. And it was basically like a giant Hot Topic with a tattoo shop in it. And he got really busy one day, and he said, "Hey, do you want to learn how to tattoo?" And I said, "Sure."
Why not?
So, yeah. So he brought me over, and he, you know, started having me tattoo grapefruit and, you know, different things. There's different things you can tattoo that have sort of the consistency of skin, or kind of have the properties of what it would be like. And then eventually worked up, and I learned how to tattoo. So I don't tattoo now. I haven't in a very, very long time. I've never really tried to be a tattoo artist per se. But, yeah, I mean, I'm sure I probably could go do it. But I leave it to the experts, you know. And I have two very good friends here in town who do all my tattoos. They're amazing. So if anybody ever gets up my way here in Jackson, Michigan, go to Cloverland Tattoo Company. Calico and Matt will give you the sickest tattoos that your freakish little mind could ever come up with.
And what people don't understand is tattooing is an art form.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's been around for centuries.
Yeah, millenniums. It goes way back to the Egyptians and the Polynesians and the Phoenicians. I mean, tattooing has been around for millenniums. And, you know, I mean.
And it meant certain, something. They just, the early yeah. civilizations didn't tattoo just to arbitrarily put art on skin.
Right.
When someone was tattooed, they were either a slave or they were somebody of a certain
great power.
Power or certain caste.
Yeah.
Or there were various reasons that people were tattooed. It was a mark
right.
of something. And then it became
right.
an art, it became just art. Some of the prettiest
right.
art I've seen has been tattoos.
Yeah. And there are, I mean, there's artists all over the world, obviously, and there's, you know, there's the guys out there that, you know, obviously, we call them scratchers. You know, these are the guys that basically shouldn't be allowed within 50 feet of a box of crayons, let alone a tattoo machine. But, you know, there's also guys out there that are the best in the world. I mean, there's, you have guys like Nico out in LA, who is probably the best in the world when it comes to real life, portrait realism. You have Dmitry Samahan in the Ukraine, who to me is absolutely the best tattoo artist in the world. Look the guy up. This guy is like, literally, man, you would not even believe what you see when you look Dmitry up. Like, you know, I mean, there's people who are artists, and then there's Dmitry. And Dmitry literally is like, there's not even words to describe this guy. I mean,
would
he
be the Michelangelo of the tattoo world?
Dimitri makes Michelangelo look like a third grader with a box of colored pencils.
Wow.
Dimitri is, there's pictures that Dimitri has done that are so realistic. It literally looks like he took a page out of National Geographic and glued it to the guy's arm.
Mm.
I mean, he does. And the thing that makes Dimitri unique is most tattoo artists, they do more than one style, but they specialize in one style.
Right.
You know, they do Japanese, or they do surrealism, or they do watercolor, or they do new school, or, you know, neo-traditional. Dimitri literally does anything Dimitri wants to do. And he does it like he's been doing it for 50 years. Dimitri is like 31 years old.
Mm.
And this guy tattoos like he's been doing it 100 years.
Maybe he did,
like,
in another lifetime.
He must have. Because this guy, I mean, literally, his use of color, his use of surrealism and photorealism, I mean, it's sickening. No one person should have that much talent, okay? I mean, and it's really the very top of my bucket list is to go to the Ukraine and have a tattoo by Dimitri. I don't know what it's going to cost, probably five figures, but that's okay. Because this is a guy, when you have his tattoo, you know, people see it and they, oh yeah, that's a Dimitri tattoo. Because
like
you will literally
a,
jump off your skin.
It's like hanging a Picasso in your home, not the copy, but the real thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's, like I said, you just look up, like I said, Dimitri Samohain, Samohain. I type his name into Google, and I promise you, when you see his work, you're just going to be like, holy shit. he does everything. Like I said, he does, you know, animals, and he does Viking soldiers. He's done photorealism tattoos of Opie from Sons of Anarchy. There's one of Johnny Depp, Edward Wood. There's a Vincent Price one. There's one, it's a giant light bulb with all the electricity coming off it and everything. It's a tribute to Tesla, but it's like in 14 different colors, you know, there's blue, orange, yellow, green, and it's all these, I mean, it's just insanity.
Wow.
There's one guy, he got, it's leaves, basically. It looks like maple leaves, and it's orange and brown, but the realism of the leaves, literally, it looks like the guy was, it literally looks like a picture that somebody took out of National Geographic and they just glued it to his arm. It's that realistic. The detail in Christmas, you know, that this guy does is, it's beyond anything I've ever seen. It's utterly astounding to me. So you're gonna,
that's the first thing on your bucket list.
Yeah, That's real high on my bucket list. That's the, at least as far as the things that are realistic. You know, number one on my bucket list, I would love to interview David Gilmour of Pink Floyd. Top of my bucket list,
happen.
But
that
you know,
could happen. Anything's possible.
Anything is possible, but you know, considering David does about two interviews a year, I'm probably pretty low on the list of people he's going to ask for an interview. But, hey, you know.
Well, you don't
we'll
know the answer to the question until you ask it.
Well, I mean, you know. But anyways, yeah, Dimitri's way up there. I got a bunch of really cool kind of off-the-wall stuff on my bucket list of things I would love to do, you know. Stand-up comedy. You know, I have an idea for a TV show that I would love to see produced. It's like a game show type of thing. music related. And, you know, I've pitched that to a couple people and it hasn't been shot down, but it hasn't come to fruition either. Got lots of song ideas still. At some point I'm going to do a record, another record anyways. But this one is going to be sort of a very tongue-in-cheek type of thing where the songs will be very sarcastic and biting, a kind of comedy-oriented. I don't want to call them trucker-type songs, but, I mean, if you ever heard, like, the old trucker type of tunes, it's going to be kind of along that lines of, you know, some of the song titles that I'm working with right now. One is called Breakfast of Champions, which basically is a song about, you know, the day after the party, you wake up with a hangover and there's cold pizza and warm beer. You know, it's the Breakfast of Champions.
Doesn't even sound good.
Trust me, if you... been a lot of us that, you know, have partied, and we wake up the next day, and that's kind of like the first thing that's available for breakfast. Maybe it's just a musician's thing, but anywho, I have one with a working title of My Dog is Smarter Than Your Honor Student.
That one I can relate to.
Let me bring my list. I got a list of very tongue-in-cheek songs. Some of them are more serious, but, you know, they're what they are, I guess. Oh, where'd it go? There it is. Song titles. I got one that's called The Words I'll Never Get to Say, which is a song about Alzheimer's and dementia. That's going to be a serious one. Basically inspired by Glen Campbell. There was a line in they made a movie about Glen Campbell recently, and, you know, his son was speaking about his dad, and he said, you know, there's a lot of words that I'll never get to say to him because he won't understand them.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of like, you know, Alzheimer's
that's
is probably the one thing. Yeah, and Alzheimer's is really the one disease that I'm most fearful of, because I worked, you know, one of my earlier jobs before my oldest sons were born, is I worked at a nursing home with Alzheimer's patients, and just a devastating, devastating disease. Breakfast of Champions, My Dog is Smarter Than Your Honor Student. There's one called My Middle Finger. Basically about an ex, basically the course is somewhat something along the lines of my middle finger loves you too. there's a song called Ronnie and John, which is a song about Ronald Reagan and John Wayne, bygone era of when men were men and sheep were scared. there's a song called We Earned It, which is a song, you know, about growing up where, you know, nothing was free. You earned everything that you got.
Uh-huh.
There's one that is inspired by a saying my great-grandmother used to tell us. She used to say, pain is temporary, pride is forever.
Ooh, I like that.
And yeah,
she's right.
So, yeah. There's one called A Story for Every Scar because, you know, I've got tons of scars. I've had over 1,000 stitches in my life. You know, there's a story with every scar basically because every one of them, you know, it's never been, hey, I bumped my hands fixing the car. You know, it's never been like that. There's been like, hey, I got this one by jumping the snowmobile over the house, and I got this one when I was working at the health department and I climbed a tree 30 foot in the air and discovered there was a paper wasp nest up there. And you know, quick exit on an aluminum ladder.
Oh, my word. You like to live dangerously, don't you, my friend?
You know, when you're 30 foot in the air and you're face-to-face with a paper wasp nest, yeah, falling 30 foot down an aluminum ladder doesn't seem like such a bad thing.
No. Okay. It's a wonder that you're still among the living.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's one called The Tears on Mama's Apron. Basically, the chorus is, she cried alone in the kitchen and another night of being afraid that he won't make it home this time, just more tears on Mama's apron. There's one called Granny Always Said, which is kind of like the Pride is Forever thing. You know, about my great-grandma. She raised 8 kids during the Depression, ran the family farm after my great-grandma passed away. The whole while basically teaching piano and organ to pretty much everyone in town where we lived. So, like you said in the beginning, you know, a woman who basically had 4 jobs at once.
Been there, done that.
Tough as nails. Yeah, tough as nails.
You can bend us, but you'll never break us.
That's for sure. That's the way she was. You know, she lived to be 96, and she went out fighting. So,
sounds like a woman after my own heart.
Yeah. The one called Breakdown Dead Ahead, which is just about having depression. There's one called The Seventh of Never, which is a very tongue-in-cheek country song. There's one called The Death of Faith and Reason, which is just about the craziness. On every channel, I see murder and treason. We're watching the death of faith and reason. And then there's one called My Rights Count. And it's basically, again, just about, you know, the amendments and the Constitution and how it's being wiped away before our eyes, mostly. So
I have a question for you, my friend. With all these wonderful songs that you have written, when can we start listening to them?
I'm actually in the process of assembling people to help me record because I only play bass. So I'm finding the right people to play guitar and play drums and contribute. And obviously with all of the people that I've met over the past number of years doing the radio thing, I have some very, very good people in mind. So I'm hoping sometime this fall, probably, to maybe have it put together.
You know what my next question is, right?
What's that?
Oh, really? You're going to play that card? Ladies and gentlemen, this man knows how my questions go. He knows that I lead up to the zinger, and he makes that kind of statement? Really? Gee.
I'm trying to be modest.
Really? You? Modest? Come on.
I hope to have it recorded, you know, sometime before the fall. And a lot of it's really going to depend on how much it's going to cost me for all of these people because, I mean, obviously, I don't expect anybody to work for free.
No, what you do is you get them to donate their time and their effort. We do a launch on the show and play the music on the show. Then you upload it to CD Baby and to iTunes, and people can download it, and y'all can get paid for it.
In theory.
In theory, my hands. But it's called impractical.
Making money off of music. Yeah, making money off of CDs and music is, you know,
I'm gonna tell you something. If you keep making excuses, you'll never get it done. It'll happen.
Oh, I know it'll happen. I'm just saying.
By the time you get ready to launch it, we're gonna be at 20,000 plus listeners. I mean, we got 51 countries, over 51 countries that listen to us. They're going to want this music,
yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, the the title of the CD will be All Men Are Cremated Equal.
I like that. I like that very much.
I've had that title. That'll actually probably end up being a song as well at some point. It was, come up in a philosophy class one time that a teacher asked me, you know, what do all men have in common? And me being the perpetual smartass that I am, you know, I thought, hey, we're in philosophy and I love history. How can I twist this? And now the one thing that all men have in common is all men will be cremated equal. You know, basically we all die.
What?
She kind of looked at me like she kind of smiled. And she's like, it's good. She's like, I like that. So
the Teskey brothers, who we absolutely adore, ladies and gentlemen, they're from Australia. And yeah, we've played their music on this show before. We absolutely adore them. They did all their music in their garage.
Yeah.
So you can do yours in your living room.
That's pretty much where it's going to get done. It's going to be me recording on my end and then sending bits and pieces to other people to record theirs, and then they'll send it back, and everything will end up being like a giant musical jigsaw puzzle.
And you just mix it and let it rip, and then send me the files, and we'll have a two-hour show and play it. See how simple this is. Break it down.
That's coming as well. I still have a book that I'm working on that will see the light of day at some point.
And you're going to let us publish it, right?
Yes, absolutely. The only thing standing in the way of that at this point is when I wrote the book, it was based around a Nine Inch Nails song. And there's a lot of song lyrics incorporated into the story. And obviously, you know, when it was just an internet meme, basically, you know, an idea floating around that I published in a fan fiction page, basically, it was perfectly fine because I wasn't making any money off it. But to publish it, obviously, with the lyrics, I would have to have the clearance of Trent Reznor and the record label and everything else. And that can be...
Well, send them a letter and tell them what you're doing and ask them to please give you permission to do that.
Right. But, you know, so that's my first step. But I have a plan B, which basically is, you know, I also have a version of the story that doesn't have those lyrics in it. So that if Trent says, yeah, no, because Trent's known to be kind of standoffish about other people using his material, even though he plagiarizes the shit out of other people. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. anywho, moving on, there is a version of the story that will be published more or less without his lyrics. And it's actually a three-part story. Novellas, I guess, is what they call them, or short stories, whatever. But yeah, there will be this would be the first part, and then there will be a second and third part. Kind of a cross between, I guess, what Kelly Armstrong would write and what what's the chick who wrote 50 Shades? Yeah.
That person.
The one who has a third grade. Yeah, the one who has a third grade writing ability.
Anyways,
it'll be a cross between it'll be a cross between like a sort of an erotic type of thing and a sort of a semi vampire-ish supernatural type of thing.
Vampire-ish,
but,
semi. You're either a vampire or you're not. You can't be a semi vampire, my friend.
Yeah, it's the way the story's written. It's more supernatural.
Okay.
I kind of hint that they're vampires, but I don't actually say that they're vampires.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, yeah, it's...
You leave it up to the reader to decide.
Yeah, it's... and I haven't really decided if I'm going to make them vampires or if they're going to be White Walkers or what their actual thing is going to be. I don't say in the first part of the story other than... basically, you know, she died, but she's still alive, more or less.
Okay.
You know, back in the day, that made you a vampire. But with everything
or
now, now you have White Walkers, and you have demons, and you have zombies and all of that. So.
Or it made you have that disease where people thought you were dead, but you really weren't. That's why they put the bells with the ropes on, so if somebody woke up and they were in the grave, they could ring the bell and they'd get dug up.
Right. So, but yeah, that's the first part of that. I got a lot of stuff going on, and I'm still going to do the truck driving thing. It's just getting all this medical stuff taken care
of. And speaking of a lot of stuff going on, you're still doing the radio show, right?
And I do still have the radio shows. I actually have three of them. The first one is Six Ways to Sunday. That's a country-oriented show, country, bluegrass, Americana, folk, blues, and southern rock. That is once a month. I record that show as a podcast. Kind of have fun with that because that's sort of my redneck side shows there. I have Motor City Glam Slam, which the new episode will be tomorrow. That is a two-hour show that's basically a lot of 80s type of stuff. Def Leppard, Bon Jovi, Motley Crue-ish, Sunset Strip-era hair band music. You know, so if you like loud guitars and big vocals and big drums and Aquanet to the Sky, yeah, there's that show's for you. And I have, there's a third show. It's gone through a variety of names. Since I've pretty much killed the actual station side of Riot on the Set and converting it to the site of basically being reviews and news and that kind of stuff, we kept Riot on the Set. That's going to be the third show now because the name that I had previously was too long and it was hard for people to remember and say, so the radio show, third one, is going to be Riot on the Set, and it's going to be everything else. That's the one that's going to have the real heavy stuff. It's going to have the reggae, the hip-hop, the, you know, just whatever I deem it to be, more or less. Whatever kind of mood I'm in.
okay.
And happen to be listening to at the time. It's going to be that kind of show. It's going to be a riot, more or less.
And when will this one air?
This one will be weekly as well. Probably come out around Wednesdays. I'm going to say Wednesdays, Thursdays. Motor City Glam Slam will be Sunday or Monday. And then, yeah, so we have those three. Riot on the Set, radio.com is the website. You're going to see a lot of music reviews. You're going to see some movie reviews. You're going to see some stuff about books, lots of books. I'm going to start reading much more than I have been lately and doing some book reviews. I've been approached by a few filmmakers, independent type of filmmakers who say, hey, if I send you a copy of my film, will you review it? We're going to do that. You know, I'm trying to expand the media base, I guess, of what Riot on the Set is, as far as it being more than just music. I want it to be, to really encompass a lot of the arts, you know. And if there's other arts that people want me to review or want me to talk about, if they want to promote their stuff, then please contact me at the email or the Twitter or the Facebook and... You know, we'll figure it out because I'm pretty much open to whatever. I mean, I don't want to call myself a Renaissance guy, but
you kinda
I'm
are.
Kind of a, yeah, I'm kind of a redneck Renaissance guy. You know, I'm, I said this on the very first time I was on the show. I grew up in the front seat of a semi.
Yep, you did.
And, you know, this was an era where there were no cell phones, no laptops, no computers or anything to distract you. I had books and I had music. And, you know, I got to explore the world. I got to explore and hear and see things that were very unique to that era and that generation. And it made me this person who I love seeing things. I love hearing things. I love working with different aspects of what people do. And I'm fascinated by things like, one of my new passions, and I want to learn, I've been watching the TV show Forged in Fire. And I want to learn bladesmithing to make my own knives and swords and different things. Farriering. That's the horseshoe part of it. But, I want to learn to work with metal and make things, that type of thing. So if there's anybody you come across who makes knives or makes swords or makes old armor or Renaissance type of stuff, me, I want to learn to do it.
You see, this is what makes you so unique is that, and we're fixing to run out of time, believe it or not, is that you have such an open mind in everything that you read or listen to or watch. You soak it up like a sponge. You want to know the who, what, when, where, and how about it.
Yeah, it's, I hate just sitting still. So I try to use my energy and my, my whatever it is. If I'm depressed, I try to turn that into something positive. If I'm hyper, I try to turn that into something constructive as opposed to, I was very fortunate, even though I was a bully and an asshole in school. I had great teachers and great counselors who said, hey, instead of standing in the schoolyard chasing people and trying to punch them, why don't you learn to box? Why don't you learn Brazilian jiu-jitsu? Why don't you do this? And, you can use that energy constructively as opposed to breaking stuff. At the worst time of my life, which is when I first went into foster care, my sole path at that time was to destroy everything in my path because I was 16, I was pissed off, and I wanted nothing more than to see people just in as much misery as I was in.
Uh-huh.
And I had a foster brother who built houses or he rebuilt houses. I guess he fixed houses. And he said, you know what? I've got a job for you. And he took me to a house that they were basically gutting from the inside out. And he handed me a 12-pound sledgehammer. And he said, you see all of these walls in this room? And I was like, yes. And he's like, they have to come out. And I was like, okay. He's like, break them. So I spent the next 2 days basically beating on walls with a sledgehammer, ripping out other drywall in the 2x4s. And
made me feel very good too, didn't it?
Yeah, and even that was like, this is cool. I'm getting paid to break stuff. I was making $7 an hour in 1986 to break stuff. Shit. Oh, yeah. You got another one? Right, I'm done with this. Yeah. So I've always tried to be positive. It's hard sometimes. And, those people who know me know there are days where, I can be very mean and say stuff.
Can't
that.
We all?
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You've been having a what?
I've been having a field day with this United Airlines thing. It's just, there's some things in life that just come along that are so easy to pick on.
Oh, absolutely.
Comedy-wise.
Absolutely.
And it just seems like over the last month, it's kind of like, God doesn't like United and he wants to see them out of business. Because it's like, first it was the girls with the jeggings.
The leggings.
And then it was the...
Yep.
Yeah, and it was the Chinese guy, and then the guy's like sitting there eating his meal. And
they need to change their logo instead of fly the friendly skies. Let's just stay on the ground.
I suggested their new motto be, hey, nobody beats our customers except for
us. I like that one. We are going to run out of time, my friend, and before we do, tell people where you can be found.
The website is riotonthesetradio.com. Facebook is facebook.com/CJPlane, all one word, PLAIN. It's like plane don't mean, not the airplane. Twitter, I am Music God CJ Plane. Just look me up there. There's a Twitter for Riot on the Set Radio. I don't know what it is because I had to spend an hour trying to figure out how the hell to write that on Twitter because I kept running out of spaces. I haven't actually used it. I am on Instagram. I have no idea what it is. I think it's Music God CJ Plane, but don't quote me on that because I really don't use Instagram as much as I should. I'm pretty much on all the social medias. If you go to Google and you type in Music God CJ Plane, there's a whole ton of stuff that will pop up. Reviews I've written, music reviews, articles I've written, the website, all of that stuff. That'll all come up. So,
And if you have any music questions, ladies and gentlemen, this is the go-to person. If you're looking for certain music for a certain event, this is the go-to person. If you're looking for music for a movie that you're doing, this is the go-to person because he's probably forgotten more about music than most of us will ever know in a lifetime.
Yes, and now, I can put you in touch with people if you're looking for music for anything like a movie or anything like that. I got tons of friends who are composers. Morte, my friend Morte, is world-class. This guy plays 24 instruments. He's basically like the prince of black metal. And I say the prince of black metal because he has two bands that are both black metal bands, but he composes classical music. He does video game music. He does symphonic music. I mean, the guy plays 24 instruments.
So there you go. So in the waning moments of our hour, join us. I will be off tomorrow, Monday and Tuesday, because, yes, I do rest occasionally, and I do try to write occasionally. But Wednesday night we will start our week over at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I don't have my guest list in front of me. Shame on me. And as I do with every show, at the end of every show, do not allow anyone to steal your dream without your permission. And then stop asking permission if you want to achieve greatness. Just go out and do it. Because if you don't, you're going to be that person, and y'all all know who that person is. You're going to be that person who at the end of your day said, well, I shoulda, woulda, coulda. Let's don't have regrets, ladies and gentlemen. And also support your children. If they have a dream, support your children because they are important too and they deserve the best that you can give them. And I'm not talking about video games and all the other stuff. I'm talking about be the best that you are that you can give them because one day they'll grow up, and as the song says, I'm going to grow up and be just like Dad. And trust me, they will. Is that a true statement, Chris?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They
more
will grow
than
up,
you know.
Yes, they will grow up and be just like you. So remember, no matter how little, no matter how big, they learn by your example. And even if you think they're not watching you, they are. Because my daughters, both of my daughters and my son say, Mom, your words are coming out of my mouth. So join us on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern. Chris, thank you, my darling, again for coming on my show. You know you're a regular, so you know you're coming back, right?
Oh, yeah, always.
Okay.
And if anybody wants to send me birthday wishes, they can do that as well. My birthday's Thursday, so.
You're getting birthday wishes from me on Thursday for sure. So, ladies and gentlemen, join us on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern where we have another great guest. Chris will be back because then when he comes back, he'll have music for us. Until then, remember this. Love your children, love yourself. Like yourself. Love your spouse, love your significant other. Because they are all that you have, ladies and gentlemen. There's nothing like family. So until Wednesday night, This is Yvonne Mason with Off the Chain, and we say good night. You know, I'm going to put it up in archives and then tag you in it when I put it up on the page, right?
Yep, that's fine.
And
you don't
then
want to
I'll
find
send
me.
You, and I'll send you all the podcasts, and you pass them around so that people can listen to them.
Yeah,
but
I've been off I've been off recording for a while, but I'm getting back to it tomorrow night. So it's just
okay.
Been kind of crazy the last month or so, but I've got all my playlists made, and you know, I'm ready to get back at it. I've got everything set up, and I've actually
now
been doing some voiceover work for other people.
Have you really?
Yeah.
I didn't know you did voiceover work.
I do. I mean, nothing nearly as good as what Odd does, but I do. Odd basically taught me. It's
well,
just something
we'll have
I haven't
to start
really
promoting
gotten into
you
deeply.
Too. We have to start promoting you as well.
Yeah. See, I haven't gotten paid for it or anything yet. I haven't really tried to, but yeah, I mean, I do know how to do it, and eventually I'll be, I'm trying to build up, I guess, the portfolio, so to speak, of, you know, so I can show people, hey, you know, this is what I can do, and, you know, I've considered
maybe.
Why
don't I send you one of my books and you do an ad for me?
Okay.
And you can add that to your portfolio, you can add that to your portfolio.
Cool. So,
sound like a plan?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But
and if you,
I mean,
if
anything
you want,
you need.
Do what?
I said anything you need. All you got to do is ask. I mean,
well, I know.
So.
Well, and you know what? You know what else you could do if you want to? Do a voiceover ad for this show and throw it onto your show.
Yeah, I've actually got one made. I just got to add the music to it. I was actually looking earlier. I was trying to find, I have a whole bunch of sound files, like background music.
Uh-huh.
And those are all different kinds. I mean, some are rock, some are country, some are like banjos, some are blues. And I was actually going through them and trying to find like the best one. And I actually found one called Off the Chain. That's kind of a bluesy country type of,
sweet.
Almost like a swamp blues type of sound. And I was thinking, you know, that might be a real good one for you, considering you're based in Florida and, you know.
sweet.
So
as soon as you get
I'm
it up, I want to hear
together.
It. Yeah, that'll be
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, like I said, it's something I recorded for the station itself. And I never really got around to finishing it because there was always, you know, 26 things to do. And, you know, I stay home, she works, and I've got like 4 kids here and chasing the idiot neighbor off my lawn because he can't back out of his driveway without backing across my lawn. But anyways.
All will be well.
Yeah, yeah. Now that I've got the time and everything, and I'm kind of waiting for these medical tests to come that I have to go do, they want me to do a sleep apnea test. But, yeah, I'm trying to tell the woman, and she's like, do you snore? Well, I do snore, but it's not because of my weight. It's because I've never had my tonsils out.
Nope.
Well, that won't
I'm gonna,
call snoring.
I'm,
I was like,
I'm going to pay attention to me.
Mm-hmm.
My husband had to have it done. And he said, but I sleep well. But when they did the test, he
right.
woke up 10,000 times in an 8-hour period.
Oh, shit.
So it doesn't have anything to do with your tonsils. It has to do with the fact that you're not in that REM sleep. So, yeah, have that test done because if you wind up with the CPAP, you'll sleep and feel a whole lot better. Trust me. He fought me for weeks on it. Now he can't sleep without it.
Yeah, I have the test the 26, or the consultation the 26. So I'm waiting for that. And then I got another one. She's going to check my vitamin D again and all that, make sure the medicine's working and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So, you know.
Well,
and,
in the meantime, do the ad, and I'll send you over some books, and you can do some voiceovers, and then you can add that to your portfolio.
Awesome.
And I'll start
pimping
you when you send it back, and I'll play them, and I'll start pimping you, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I got, like I said, I got a bunch of stuff going on. My friend Kyle just put his first solo CD out, and I'm going to be pushing that to people real hard to help him, because this kid is...
Well, we need to get him on the show and his music on the show.
Yeah, his music is called, you seen me mention it the other day in that little video I did. It's called Piano Metal.
Uh-huh.
It's metal, but it's like, basically it sounds like, best way to describe it, it sounds like if Beethoven joined Metallica, more or less.
Ooh.
I mean, Kyle is, he's endorsed by Casio. I mean, he's got a professional endorsement. The kid is, he's a monster on keyboards, piano. I mean, the kid can play like Beethoven.
I want to get him on the show. I'd like to get him on the show in August. That's going to be the first opening I'm going to have. Will you talk to him for me?
Yeah. Not only that, I found out recently, and I didn't know this, he actually has written with WWF, or WWE. He's done some of their theme songs.
Wow.
I never knew that. I have heard these songs 1,000 times and never realized when ECW was around. When WWE first bought ECW and everything, the opening music for ECW, Kyle wrote that. And I never knew that. I've heard it 1,000 times, but they never say who it is. It's
right.
Just an opening theme. And yeah, that Kyle wrote that damn thing. And he just actually signed a new contract with WWE to use two of the songs from Piano Metal for their pay-per-views.
Get in contact with him. Tell him I want to get him on the show, and and you can come co-host with me that night, and we'll talk to him and play his music and talk about his music and get him out there.
Yeah, because he's awesome. He's got an awesome personality too. He's so funny and so, you'll love to meet up.
Well, let's make it happen, my dear. So I'm going to get off from here. I got to go find something to eat. My stomach thinks my throat's been cut.
Uh-oh.
And normally I don't eat because food and I don't get along, but for some reason tonight I'm hungry and I don't know why. I just go find something small and stuff it in my mouth and satisfy my stomach, and then I'll get the show up and get you set up. You get with Kyle. Let me know when in August, and we'll set that up, and then I'll send you over some books for you to do some voiceovers.
Yeah, and are these like what, e-books, basically?
I can send you
or
an
actual
e-book
physical
through,
books.
I can send you, if you want to read the book, I can send you the e-book through Kindle if you can download it, or I can send you the synopsis, whatever you want to do.
You know what? Do both, because I on my tablet, I have the Amazon and the Barnes & Noble. So whether it's, whether it's Nook or whether it's Kindle, doesn't matter.
Okay.
Plus, I have Calibre on the computer where I can convert between the formats.
Okay.
So, I can just put it on the tablet and read it. I'm actually reading the book right now from Andrew Dice Clay. Believe it or not, the guy's actually a really funny writer. he's a better writer than he is a comedian, to be honest. But
oh, my word. I'll send you the Pink Canary.
Yeah, that's, you know what, I want to read that one because that actually, the way you describe it, I don't know if you've ever read Christopher Moore, but it just screams like something Christopher Moore would write. He's very, if you've never read Christopher Moore, you have to read him. You will absolutely roar with laughter. Some of his books that he writes, Practical Demon Keeping, the one you have to read is called Lamb, the Word of God According to Biff, the Childhood Friend of Christ.
Oh, my word.
Basically what it is, it's very Monty Python-ish. And it tells the story of Jesus during the years between the time he was born and when he reappears in Galilee. And it's the story of all the adventures he went to. He goes to India and he goes to this place and he goes to this place. And the whole time he's accompanied by Biff, his childhood friend. And, you know, there's all these very tongue-in-cheek, funny adventures of like how they meant the prostitute, but Jesus couldn't have sex with her, so he had Biff do it so he could experience it secondhand.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's not done in a dirty way. It's done in a very, like I said, a very kind of if you crossed I can't think of his name, the one who did Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Douglas Adams. If you cross Douglas Adams and Monty Python, that's very much how Christopher Moore writes.
I might have to check him out.
Yeah, he is hilarious. I honestly, when my friend told me about the book, I didn't think I would like it. But literally, by the end of the first chapter, I was almost in tears. The guy is... He is a brilliant writer. He is so funny. But like I said, he does it in a way that's not offensive. Like even the Lamb book, I thought, you know, this has potential to be really offensive to Christian people. But he's never offensive. And he says even in the end, he wrote the book with the idea of writing a funny story, but doing it without being offensive to the Catholic or the Christian faith. And, you know, he did a lot of research and a lot of things and, you know, worked with rabbis and worked with Christian scholars to make sure that it was done in a way. But
right.
He did it while still being absolutely hilarious.
Where do you want me to send this?
Just send it to the Riot on the Set media one.
I got to find it
from there.
R-I-O-T on the set. Riot on the Set media.
@gmail.com. I'm done, by the way. Yeah.
Okay. Riot on the Set Media @gmail.com. Okay. All right, my dear. It is on its way to you. So I'm going to get off from here now, and you can let me know when you get it.
Okay. I will do that. I'll send over that, too. And I'll send you a link to the Dimitri stuff so that you can look at it. Because, like I said, you'll be absolutely blown away by what Dimitri can do. I mean, it's the most insane thing. Yep, it's already there. Print it forward. Just get the announcement for your recipient.
Okay. So, we'll go have tonight's fun.
All right,
talk
you have a good
you
night.
Later. All right,
yep, bye.
Bye-bye.